to us. You know, a lot of times we think we already know so much, but God's got a lot to teach us if we'll just take the time to learn and listen unto Him. And I'm afraid too many times this day and time we don't want to listen. We want to say a lot, but we don't want to listen. And, you know, sometimes you learn a whole lot more by listening than you do by speaking. Because, you know, it's impossible for you to speak and hear at the same time taking in something. We need to concentrate on one of the two. And it's a whole lot better if we listen. I am St. John, the 6th chapter. We're going to read quite a bit here in this chapter. It's a long chapter, 71 verses, but we're going to start at the 53rd verse. When Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I have lived by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. Your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who shall hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, I'm afraid a lot of times people, they don't like to hear that referred to anybody, a human being, as being a devil. But here Christ referred to that of Judas. And, you know, he made it plain there, and they didn't understand it that way, but eating his flesh and drinking his blood, that meant taking everything in him that Christ had taught, just taking all of him into you, leaving nothing out. And as he was teaching this, they couldn't understand that because they were thinking literally eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But you and I today, as we know what Christ was trying to teach here, and as the people listen to it, we find today that there's many that sit in church every week
But yet they're still not willing to do exactly what Christ was trying to teach the people here. And that was to take all of it, everything that he said, to walk in life every day that we live, to awaken the people that see in us Christ Jesus, that they might know exactly what we're still about, what Christ is about in here. As he said, one of you has a devil. I'm afraid today we got a lot of devil that's standing in pulpits and sitting in pews across the nation. Why? Because they're still rebelling and turning against the things of God. You're like Judas, and you betrayed him. You and I, we don't live the way that Christ is taught. If we betrayed him the same as Judas did, and God requires each and every one of us to come and live the life that he requires of us. That 65th verse, he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You and I, the only way we can live the life that's acceptable unto God is totally surrendered our life unto God. Being a living example, no matter where we go, in our speech, in the places we go, in everything that we do, that we would be an example that people could look at, just as they looked at Christ. And here you'll find it said many of the disciples, they turned and walked away. They didn't want to walk with him anymore, because that saying they thought was too hard for the day people. They're the same way, they don't want to live according to what the Bible said, because a preacher that preached it straight the way that the Bible said it, they say it too hard. But you and I today, when we come and stand before God, we're going to find out God required it, and we're going to find out, because we were unwilling to live that way, that God is going to reject us. And you'll find there, Judas, I don't know what was actually in Judas's mind. You'll hear a lot of people saying, well, he was thinking this or he was thinking that. He thought that Christ would just escape or whatever. There's no way that we know what was in his mind except that he betrayed him. And it was for 30 pieces of silver. You and I today, what are we betraying God for? It's a lot less than what Judas did. Sometimes it's just for a friend. Sometimes it's for this or sometimes it's for that. But when we stand before God, we're going to be rejected. Why? Because we was unwilling to bear the cross there. And you'll find Peter, he said, unto whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. God's still the only one that does that. The words of eternal life for you and me. And unless we come and live by the word that he taught his disciples, and each and every one of us, unless we listen to what the Bible says and speak it to us today, then we're rejecting the very words of Christ. Christ said he was the living word. We need to accept it today, take it into us, that it might be the life to us that God intended for each and every one of us to live. And if we don't, when we stand before God, we're going to be without an excuse. Here, you know, these that walked away, I wonder how many of them later, when they seen the price that Christ actually paid, thought, well, boy, we done good to walk away when we did. Well, you know, today people, they'll turn their back and walk away from the things of God. And then they keep hoping and praying that the side that they walked away from, that maybe they will fail some way or another, so it'll make them feel that they was right in what they did. You and I today, if we don't stand firm upon the word of God and follow God and what he asks of us, no matter, you know, there's people that God has required things of and they thought that was just too much. Well, you and I, God don't ask anything of us that we're not capable of doing if we'll just come and follow him. Surrender ourselves unto him. Give ourselves unto God that we might be an instrument he could use. And today we look around and we see very few people that wants that wants to be counted as being that peculiar person living for God. Why? We want to blend into the world to where we don't have to bear persecution. But the Bible teaches me and you, if we live a spiritual-filled life, we live a godly life, then we're going to have persecution from this world. And if the world is happy with me and you, then God is displeased with us. Because he said, my people are a peculiar people. And it's time for us to wake up and realize it's time for us to stand and be counted. For God, you'll find here the 12. They were going to stay with me. But Judas was one of those 12 that betrayed him. You and I today. How many is it that's sitting in churches today that though they don't say anything, every day through the week, they're betraying the very Son of God by the choices they make. You and I today, God wants us to come out from our world and be a separated people. Stand up and be counted. Look that peculiar part because if we're Christians, the world is not going to like us and not going to think very much of us. And if we're trying to be friends with the world, then we can't be a friend to God, because Christ tells them, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. You and I today, we need to realize that, you know, friendship with this world gets us nowhere. As I was mentioning this morning in my message, there have been a lot of people in my life that I thought was friends that ended up walking away, leaving because I wouldn't compromise on the Bible. I wouldn't back down. I wouldn't overlook the things that they were doing. Even some of my preacher friends. But God has not changed. And you and I today, if we make it to heaven, we're going to have to stand firm upon God's word, no matter how many it is. It turns their back and walks away from us. Because the good part about it, Christ said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You and I, we're standing for what God required of us. We can depend upon him no matter when it is, in the middle of the night or whatever. God will be there. I'm sure the devil told Paul as he was going to the chop log, God has forsaken you. But Paul had already left the testimony of what he believed. The life that he had lived, and he had finished what God had given him to do. You and I, I'm sure, though the devil might have been talking to Paul, trying to get him even to deny God, right there as he laid his head down on the chop floor. But in just a moment's time, he found out it was all worth it. Why? Because all they could do was take their life. But God had everlasting life to give. You and I today, that's what God wants from each and every one of us, to lay down our lives here, take Christ so that the world might see him shining in us. And today, there's not many people in the world to be willing to be a martyr as Paul was. Not many people in the world that would preach and teach the Bible the way Paul did, with all the ones that he lost that he had counted his friends. You know, Paul was a big man persecuting the church, and he probably had a lot of the leaders at that day and time that were close friends of his. But when he seen Christ on the Damascus Road, Paul was no longer the same. He become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You and I, though we might have a lot of big influential friends in this world, once we become a person that knows Christ, we're going to lose a lot of them because they don't know God and they don't want to know you if you're experiencing the things of God. You know, it's time for us to wake up and realize there's a spirit in serving God that will come, take up its abode in us, to where when troubles and trials come, if we're a true born again Christian, we have a mind and a heart to know that we've got the answer. Just like what Peter was saying there, you're the one that's got the words of the life, of eternal life. You and I today, if we truly know God and have His Spirit on the inside, no matter what comes our way, that's something that we can know for sure. God still is alive and well, and He's looking out for us. Though this life here may be short, though we might in the future have to really lay our life down physically for God, but right now, God's wanting us to lay it down in a way that is not appreciated by the world. Have a testimony. When you hear somebody taking God's name in vain, call them out on it. Let them know that that name means more to you than what they're using it for. You and I today, God wants us to stand up and be counted. And if we're ashamed of Him, He said, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And we're living in a day and a time when the biggest majority of the world today, they're ashamed of the things of God. Why? They want to be accepted and looked at and being politically correct. And that's something that God does not like. He hates it. Why? Because He tells us in His Word. Each and every one of us, we need to look and to see exactly what God's requiring of us. And God will tell us if we got a heart and a mind to know. Because once that Spirit comes and takes up its abode in us, once we begin to set and contemplate the life of Christ and we begin to digest it and see just what it is, what God is teaching, what He's saying to us, then it becomes life unto us. It becomes strength unto us. Do you realize when you read Christ, the story of Christ and what He paid for me and you, it can help us when we come to trials and troubles and things that we're facing. It can help us in facing them. Why? Because we know He proved Himself that He loved us above anything we could ever imagine. And Christ paid that price that me and you might have life and have it more abundantly, He said. And this world, no matter how we're blessed, no matter how that we profit according to the things that man looks at in this world, no matter how great a business we have, no matter how big a house we have, no matter how fancy a car we have, when it comes to death, we leave all those things behind. And God says for us to lay up treasures on the other side. You and I, if we've lived a Christian life, then we've laid up treasures on the other side to where we can go where they are. You know, I can remember, and I've mentioned this many times, an old man and woman that didn't have very much of a house. The porch was sort of crooked. It was a real old house that they lived in. They didn't have anything fancy inside in the furniture. But they could set a table of just old country food as good as anything you could eat. But they had a testimony in the Spirit of God. In church, that old man would get happy and his wife would shout. They enjoyed their salvation. Why? Because they wasn't putting their treasures in this world. They were laying up on the other side. And people that looked on, even preachers, looked on to them as being some of the most spiritual people that they ever knew. One old man that would sit on the front bench of the church. Dad was on the revival there. And when that man walked in and sat down, the pastor told Dad, he said, look at that old man that's there. Said he got more influence in the church than me or you, either one. And said, I've never heard him testify. I've never seen him do very much in one. And look at the Lord, on the jobs of the Lord. Said, but he got more influence. And said, I wonder what on earth he could do that had that kind of influence. He said, and I preached and I began to hear something. Said he was sitting there with tears dripping off his chin. Tapping that cane up and down on the floor. That said it just like it spread over that church. Why? Because he wasn't screaming loud, but he was saying, I am proud. I know my Jesus. And he means something to me. You and I today, we need to have experience that the world can see. Not the words that we say, but our life that we live, that there is something in being a born-again Christian. And if we don't have that, then we're empty, we're naked, we're poor, we're miserable. Though we might have hundreds of dollars in our pocket, God said, you're poor. Why? There's nobody. I'll guarantee you, there's nobody that is buried with a pocket full of money. Because somebody's going to get that out. Even if that was his desire, somebody will get that out before that lid is closed. You and I today, the treasures we lay up on the other side, that's what we can depend on. I used to work on a horse farm, and the lady that owned the farm, she said, when I die, I want all my jewels, all my furs, and everything piled on me on the bed. And then set the house on fire because I don't want nobody else to have what I've got. You and I, what a selfish way to look at things. Do you realize if you're a born-again Christian, you can pass it off to every person you meet and it don't deplete your riches, it just multiplies them in the things of God. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to live a life that we can offer Him to others. Where they can see in us Jesus, knowing that He is living in us. You'll find in what we read to you here, if we eat His flesh, drink His blood, that means take everything there is about Him and digest it in us. He said, I'll be in you and you in me. That's what our desire should be, to have Christ filling our life. For each and every day that we live, we can call upon God. You know, my prayer for each and every one of you young people in this church is every time you read your Bible, and every time you get on your knees to pray, that that Holy Spirit will come and speak unto you and let you know what God's requiring of you. That you'll have that spiritual connection where any time the devil comes at you with something, you can take him back to those times and let him know, no, I know beyond the shadow of any doubt that my sin has been forgiven because God is visiting with me. You and I today, we need to have an experience, a born-again experience, and then something that is alive. You know, a lot of people, they'll go to church and they say, well, I made a decision for God. But their life don't change. You and I, it isn't just making a decision. It's just surrendering our whole being over to God that He might come and live in us and us in Him, that we might be that new creature in Christ Jesus. And if we are, then our daily life is going to change. The way we dress is going to change. The way we talk is going to change. The places we go to is going to change. You and I today, we need to recognize that. You know, I know there's some jobs around here. If the employees got right with God, they'd have to leave them jobs. They may be some church members that works in these places making whiskey barrels and different things like that. But if you're a born-again Christian, you ain't going to be working making whiskey barrels. You're going to find another job. God wants each and every one of us to be a light, a testimony that the world can see just how different God's people are. And if we're ashamed of Him, as I said there earlier, He said it would be ashamed of us. While we get some song to sing, please, I beg each and every one of you, don't be one of those that might be sitting in church every week. Just like Judas, he walked with Christ every day, just like the other disciples. But God said, one of you's a devil. I'm afraid we've got a lot of that going on in America today. There's some churches that everyone in that church is pretending to know God, and yet they have no knowledge of Him. Why? Because their whole life that they live, everything they do and say just shows that they don't. My brother-in-law, he used to be a painter years ago, and he was working at this big church, and it's a Catholic church. And here this man was walking all around there, cussing, a little bit of everything, talking to all the men. And he said that just every little bit, here's a cuss word. And he said, he disappeared, and I wonder where he went. Said, here he come out, and he was dressed in his priest robe with the white collar turned backwards, or however that goes. He said, never heard a word out of him of a cuss word, because he had that robe on as if that made a difference. The heart inside of that was just as evil as it was when he was out there cursing. You and I today, the clothes on the outside don't make the man or the woman. It's what's in the heart, and that's what God looks at. And we need to wake up and realize we might deceive people that see us in church or whatever. God sees us 24/7 and knows who we are. While we stand and sing,